Welcome to the GC Podcast, a podcast to help you develop into the healthiest ministry leader you can be by sharing practical ministry experience. Here are your hosts, Joe and Michelle.
Welcome, friends, to episode 3 of the GC Podcast. I'm Joe Brannon, the digital content developer on the GCI media team, coffee lover, and someone who hates when my socks get wet.
And I'm Michelle Fleming, GCI Media Director. I am a GCI enthusiast. It is just such a privilege to work and be able to tell the story of how the Holy Spirit is working in our fellowship and to hear just the creative ways our pastors and leaders are sharing the good news of the gospel. And hopefully this is another resource that can help us get some more of those good stories to share.
Yeah, because we have a lot of amazing people in GCI, ministry leaders, pastors, and even ministry volunteers that they just pour out and out and out for people, for their communities.
So many faithful members too.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can't tell you how many people I've talked to that sit there and talk about how they've been in the church for 30, 40. Somebody in local congregation here in Charlotte was talking to me the other day about being here for 50 years before the church even began here in Charlotte.
Wow.
Yeah. And I'm able to sit here and talk to this gentleman, and it's amazing.
Yeah, they've laid the path before us.
Yeah, they really have. Mm-hmm. They really have. Yeah. I need to maybe change my little intro there, you know? I mean, mine's kind of lame. Someone who hates when my socks get wet.
Oh, well.
Yours is so much better.
Hashtag relatable, Joe. No one likes their socks getting wet. You are the people's people.
I am the people's people. Well, friends, we're so glad that you are here and wanting to invest in yourself as a ministry leader. Boy, do we have a good episode. I might be a little biased on this one, though, Michelle.
Oh, no. You know, objective bystander, so much fun and so heartwarming. I loved this episode.
Oh, man. I thoroughly enjoyed doing it. In case you couldn't tell when you listened to it before we did this intro and outro, we have on this episode Megan Brannon. And if you are connecting the dots as you're listening to this, my last name happens to be Brannon too. So
sister?
No, not quite. She is my wife. She's the mother of all three of my kids, my best friend. And I'll tell you this, I am really lucky to do ministry with her. We've been doing it since we were probably 15, 16 years old. We actually met in church when we were 11. I'll never forget the first day that I met her. We were in a circle of combined friends, and my best friend introduced me to her, and we became friends from that point on. We started doing ministry together. Then I thought, I need to snag this girl up really fast
because
she's really cool.
Yeah.
Really cool. She's an amazing person.
She is. She's just such a rock of joy to anyone who has the privilege of being around her.
Yeah.
She really does. I just bring so much joy wherever she goes. If you've ever heard her laugh, you can't not laugh when Megan's around.
Contagious.
It's definitely
absolutely contagious. Especially when she throws her head back, you know.
Oh, yeah. Really gets the breath in it.
But it's not as evil as like what I sounded right then.
No, she doesn't cackle.
No, she doesn't. So Megan has almost 20 years of experience. Even though she's in her mid-30s, she has 20 years of experience leading worship, leading different teams. Like, she's led youth teams, she's led multi-generational teams, she's led big teams, small teams. She's led a plethora of different teams. So she has a lot of experience in the past 2 decades.
Yeah, and I think something about Megan is that she doesn't just do worship, she lives a life of worship.
Yes.
And so I think that really is what you experience when she then becomes part of a praise team and leads a congregation in praise. It's just an overflow of her life of obedience and submission and just worship to God.
Yeah, and I think you will hear this when you listen to this episode. I asked her at one point, because when I think about things like in my mind, when I actually think, I do it in pictures and like clips, like video almost, like I can actually picture it. I asked her, I was like, how do you think? She thinks in song. Mm. So I don't think she has molecules that form her body. I think it's music notes. I really think it's music notes. But let me tell you, whether you are a worship leader, pastor, a volunteer, we think you will enjoy this and get a lot out of this episode. But before we jump into this episode, we just want to say thank you for the positive feedback on the podcast. It has been a little bit overwhelming on the response that we've been getting from people about how they like the podcast.
It's so encouraging.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. It's hard to believe that we're already on our third episode of the podcast, and we're only releasing it once a month right now. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing that we're already at number three.
Yeah, the year is going by fast.
Yes. So just to give you an update, we're still continuing to try to get it on iTunes, Google Play, and wherever podcasts can be found. But we also want to encourage you to share these podcasts with your leaders and use them for discussions. That's what we really hope that you're using these for, because it's for practical ministry purposes. So we hope that you can take this, share it with your ministry leaders, maybe you share it with your worship leader, and have discussions on, is this something that you can incorporate? How can you incorporate within your context and those kinds of things?
Yeah, for sure. Just prayerfully consider, you know, how can this be incorporated with what the Spirit is doing among us in our context?
Yeah, absolutely. Before we get in, Michelle, I have a question for you. This probably isn't the right place to be asking this, but what are you doing on June 21st through the 23rd? Do you have anything going on?
I feel like something important is happening. What's going on, Joe?
Well, let me tell you what. The regional celebration here in Charlotte is happening on that date.
You know I wouldn't miss that.
Oh, let me tell you, girl, you don't want to miss it.
No, if there's a celebration, that's where I'm at.
We are excited about these celebrations. I wish we had that little ba-ba-ba-burn. Have you heard that before?
No.
Okay, the young people will know that, but in like YouTube videos, I'm not. I just put my foot in my mouth there. I digress. So we.
Actually, I think it's my old soul mind, because I was like definitely going 1970s pre-birth to like celebrate.
Yes, yes, that is so good. That's way better than the
much older though. Apparently, continue.
Oh man, but I'm the elder millennial here. But our regional celebration registration is open right now, and people are already starting to register. The once called regional conferences is now a time to celebrate on what the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are doing in our churches. The celebrations will be held in Portland, Oregon, Dallas, Texas, Charlotte, North Carolina, Noblesville. I hope I'm saying that right. Am I saying that right?
I believe so.
Noblesville, Indiana. I apologize if I'm saying it incorrectly. I really do apologize. And Ocean City, Maryland. So go to gci.org/events for exact dates, schedules for each celebration, and to register. You will not want to miss this celebration. And we will share more information after the episode of GC Podcast. So let's just jump into this episode with my conversation with Megan Brannon and how she does relational worship leading. In the studio today is probably going to be the best guest that that we have on this podcast in the history of GC Podcast. Maybe it's a little bit biased, but I'm way more excited about this interview than any other interview that I will ever have in my entire life.
That's a bold statement.
But I'd say it's a true statement. I am here with Megan Brannon. She is a mother of three amazing kids. She's been a part of worship team since she was 14, I believe, and been leading teams since she was about 17 years old. She is passionate about worship and has a deep love for God. But probably the best part is the fact that Megan is my wife. So I am very lucky to do ministry with my wife and have this podcast that we can share together, and she can share her experiences. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so very much. I'm very happy to be here.
We're very happy that you're here. I'm happy that you're here.
I'm happy too.
Okay. Well, I just want you to share briefly kind of the history of you leading worship. What are the different teams that you led? We know that you got into worship, like being part of a worship team when you were 14, mm-hmm. and those kinds of things. So share with our listeners just a little bit of the different teams that you've been a part of and have led over the past, 20 years that you've been leading worship.
That's very nice of you, 20 years. So I, like you said, I've been doing it for a very long time. Probably started with my dad. When I was 14, he was leading our team in Oklahoma City and had me come and sing with him and help him put services together just to help. And that's kind of how I got my feet wet into it. Just really loved singing, always have. And then as I grew up in the church and as I grew up on different worship teams, we started a youth praise team. There was a young adult leader at that time who was a couple years older than I was that she started it, and I kind of helped co-lead with her. So we did that for most of my teenage years. And then as I probably got up into 17, 18, 19 years old, she kind of phased more out and I phased more in, kind of took over leading that team more regularly. We started doing, we would actually go and travel to other churches and as a youth team and do worship for other churches in our denomination around, pretty not too far out, but even as far as Colorado at that point from Oklahoma. So we had just made little trips doing that and started doing our youth camp and would play and do worship at our youth camp, which was probably the highlight of all of our times of doing it as a worship team. Then we started a young adult team. So I led some on the youth team, but mostly on the young adult team at that point for a couple years. Then moved up to where we just kind of had, again, just back to the youth team constantly about 3 of the 4 Sundays a month. Then, we moved up to having different people a part of it, where it was kind of a multi-generational team. Moved to Texas, got involved in ministry there, started doing worship full-time there, maybe about 4 to 6 months after we moved to Texas. So started doing that team, mostly adults at that point. And yeah, some young adults and a couple of teens, but mostly adults that we just did every week. Then helped, I don't remember when I started helping on the youth team there too, but maybe a year after that, we started really focusing on developing a youth team as well. And working with them, helping them become leaders and worshipers and just kind of cultivating that heart of worship within them as well. And made the move out to Charlotte and have just done some different worship opportunities here and there since we've been out here the last few months. So
you've led a full gamut of different worship teams.
Yes.
From youth to young adult to adult and kind of everything in between. Mm-hmm. I know in Dallas, we had a blended team there. We had, people as young as, 15, I think it was? 15.
Yeah, I think 14.
Maybe 14, mm-hmm. yeah. That was part of the worship team there all the way up to, 60?
Mid-60s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and that was all on one team.
Yeah.
And you've had a lot of different experiences in
yes.
your young life.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
So, As far as your expertise in worship, besides just leading teams, you said that you really enjoyed singing mm-hmm. and those kinds of things. Did you go to school to be a musician? Because you play guitar mostly.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you do play the keyboard / mm-hmm. piano. Mm-hmm. Did you go to this big college and get professionally trained to do any of this?
Yes and no. Mostly no. So I basically actually started off playing the piano, taught myself how to play the piano when I was probably 10 or 11 because I was at my grandparents' house and there wasn't a whole lot of other things to do. So I started doing that, kind of learned how to read music at that age. Then once I got into high school, I mostly started doing the worship as the keyboardist when I was 14. Then when I was, 17, I started picking up the guitar and just
trying to play some chords to help our worship leader at that time and be able to fill a bigger spot. So taught myself really roughly how to play the guitar. Once I went to college, I actually was a music major in college most of my college career at the beginning. Music education was my primary, vocal music performance was my secondary. So with that comes some training, you know, vocal training, keyboard training, piano training, guitar training, things like that. Musically, music theory, learning how to work within all that, how to coach on a music level, how to lead on a music level, but not relationally. So yes, in the sense that I've had some, I didn't finish that degree, so I don't have a degree in music, but I went all the way, you know, 3-4 years of college with that. So not my primary focus at the end of all of my college career, but starting out for sure.
Yeah. So, and most of that was all vocal.
Yes.
A lot of your quote unquote professional training that mm-hmm. you did in college was vocals, but mm-hmm. you taught yourself mm-hmm. how to play the piano, how to play the guitar. Mm-hmm. So it's not like you're some big pro doing this.
No,
this
I'm very basic.
This is, you're not basic.
That's very nice.
you're not somebody that is, you know, a pro in doing this. This is 20 years of trial and error,
mm-hmm.
figuring it out as you go along.
Yes.
Through a lot of prayer and yes. a lot of grace of God.
Yes. Lots of grace and love. Through people having to work through all my grace years.
Now, one of the things that you mentioned was you know, you learned a lot of the technical skills, mm-hmm. Like at college, like your vocal technical skills and mm-hmm. everything, but not necessarily your relational skills.
Right.
How important is it to have those relational skills when it comes to leading these teams, mm-hmm. especially with all the different teams that you led? How important has it been to focus on the relational aspect of it?
For me, at this point, going through all the different things and learning all the different things I've learned, I would say relationally is more important than technically skilled. It's more important. I think being able to have a relationship with the people on your team, with the people in your church, with your congregation, with your pastor, with the other leaders, that goes so much farther than having technical experience. And I think it serves you better.
So share a little bit about, you know, your most recent experience when you came to Dallas, because that's the one that's really fresh, mm-hmm. or maybe another experience that really stands out to you, about to kind of give some context of the team, the worship team in Dallas. We literally had two people on that band that were pros.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They did it for a living, not worship. They did their craft for a living. So mm-hmm. we had a professional keyboardist, a jazz keyboardist, and then a jazz saxophonist.
Sax player.
sax player. Barry, if you're listening to this, I'm sorry that we don't know what a saxophonist or person is. But
awesome player. That's yes. what we're
calling you. But besides those two professionals, mm-hmm. we had some amazing talent.
Yes.
Share a little bit of the experience having all of the technical skills within a team, but what you encountered.
So Dallas was unique in starting with that. One, I was a new person coming into a congregation, not new to GCI, but new to that congregation. So there was a little bit of necessary relational building just because we were new. And they kind of had the way they had it set up when we got there was just in a format that kind of fit what they were doing and was working, but what they were ready for something different. Their current worship coordinator was actually moving away and there was a spot that needed to be filled. And so I kind of just jumped in thinking, yeah, I'd be really, really happy to do this. I felt very convicted and called to make that decision. So I spoke up. Everybody was more than happy because nobody really wanted to take that position that was currently serving in that area. They just wanted to participate, not necessarily lead or coordinate. So I kind of stepped into that role, coming in as a new person to this congregation and then figuring out really quickly that they were very, very talented people and musicians that I would be working with. So it was a little bit overwhelming on my aspect because I definitely was not the most skilled musician on the team. And when I would bring songs or we would start practicing or working on songs, I found out really quickly that we could play the songs like they needed to be played and sound very similar to the CD, but it just started lacking the extra oomph that would come, the extra, I don't know, power or spirit. I don't know how to exactly frame it. It just was missing something. And so after thinking about it, praying about it, talking about it, it was just like, man, it's just not quite what I know it could be and what I felt convicted that it should be. So I started, thinking about it and praying about it and just asking God to lead and guide and show me how to be the leader that our team needed. And I realized that we needed to connect as a team relationally more than we needed to practice technically. So I think the first thing I did after kind of having that aha moment and doing this for a little bit, realizing technically we're really good, but there could be more, was I had everybody on the worship team, and not just the singers and the musicians, but also our technical team and our sound team, because they're just as much a part of our worship team as the singers and instrumentalists and musicians. So I asked everybody to come over to our house. We had a big dinner. We hosted it at our house, and that was also important to us because we wanted it to be very casual and relaxed and just a nice intimate setting, more so than just a business setting, where sometimes when you have meetings at the church, it feels more business and less relational, just because of where we're having it. It can lend itself to that. It's not the rule of them. But anyway, so it was important to me to have it at our house where everybody could be casual, laid back. Everybody just came. We served food. Some people brought things. And we just had a dinner and a meal together and just everybody was talking to everybody else. There was a big group of us. I don't remember, probably 15 of us at our house.
Oh, yeah, at least.
At least, because people brought their spouses or their significance or their kids or whoever. And there was a big group of us, and we just hung out and talked and laughed and ate and drank. And it was just a lot of fun. And towards the end of it, we sat down kind of in a big group in our living room and started discussing everybody's goals and vision for the worship in our church. Like, what do you guys want to get out of this? What's your vision for this? What are your passions with this? Where, like, what do you see? How can we make it better? You know, just kind of started opening it up to making it a group, a group worship set through discussion versus through singing. And I think that was such a pivotal moment for me and I think our team. I saw a huge shift after that dinner in our team and in our worship singing, but in our technical team, just as a whole.
Yes.
That happened on a Saturday night, and we had church the next day, and people came into church that next day on the team, and it was a completely different group. It was so different. Everybody was interested. Like, they were just, I can't explain it except to just say there was a huge difference in our team, because now we were relationally connected. Now we were invested in each other's lives. It was more than just come here and let's work on the technical music. It was, Megan, you remember when we were at your house and we did this, this, this? Or you remember when you brought this? Oh, do you remember when this person brought this? And when we talked about this? Oh, wasn't that funny? And there were stories. And there were things we could share that we were all a part of. So then it became, after that dinner we did, it became important at our practices to create a space of worship for our team. So as much technical things that we worked on, I really made it a point to work on anything technical we needed to at the beginning of our practice and spend the last 30 to 45 minutes just worshiping through our worship set for Sunday. And what I mean by that is we would start with the first song. After we worked through all the technical bugs of each of the songs that we needed to hash through, we would start at the beginning of our worship set and just play through the whole set as if we were doing it on Sunday, but for us to worship to. And those were some of my favorite times, because we would have the tech team turn down the lights in the room.
Yep.
So just the stage lights were on. Everybody was basically, I would say before we'd start, like, hey, this is a time for worship for us too. So feel free to respond however the Spirit is moving you to worship right now. And there were times we would just keep going, or somebody would just play, or they would sing, and everybody just kind of followed along in that. And so some of the songs would go way longer, or it would spark something else in us, or another transition, or another way to do this. And it was beautiful. It was just an intimate space for our team to worship together, to bond closer together, and have to understand a heart of worship even more so, because that is the other aspect that to me is just as important as relationally and more important than technically as well. To me, if there's three aspects to worshiping in a team, it's going to be the relational aspect, the heart of worship aspect, and then the technical aspect. And the technical for me is always third, because you can teach people, most of the time, you can teach people the skill.
Yes. Yes.
You know?
Yeah. There's YouTube videos out there that people can watch and learn the technical skills.
Absolutely.
And practice and learn those technical skills.
Absolutely.
But the things that are hard that you can't necessarily teach are the relational aspect, mm-hmm. of it, because you're dealing with people.
Right.
That's very, very different.
Yes.
And then the heart of worship, that's mm-hmm. going deeper. That's a personal reflection,
mm-hmm.
As an individual.
Yeah.
And then also a communal mm-hmm. reflection as a team.
Right.
You know?
Yes.
So that's really good. As far as like prioritizing the kind of the three primary keys that you see,
mm-hmm.
As far as importance of a worship team,
mm-hmm.
That's really, really good. And you mentioned, you know, this relationship, not just with the band,
mm-hmm.
but also with the tech team. You mm-hmm. said that this tech team was just as part of the worship team,
yes.
as the band up on stage.
Yes.
Why do you specifically point that out?
So when I was probably in my teenage years and being mentored in ministry through our mentors in Oklahoma City, Pastor Mike and Mr. Ermey both, it was really exampled to me, I guess is the best way I can say it, the importance of the tech team and how that tech team works in relationship to the musical team. And I mean that in the way that Mr. Ermey worked with us a lot as our sound guy and mentored, I know, you and a lot of our other people as the sound team. And his ideas and his example in that being that he would encourage our sound team and our tech team to participate in worship through running the machines. And it showed me how important our tech team and their heart of worship is as well. First of all, for obvious reasons, you can't have a sound, you can't have a band playing music and, you know, people singing to be heard without people running the soundboard.
Sure.
You can't have people singing the songs without words on a screen.
Right.
You know, those kinds of things for obvious reasons are important. But beyond that, for them, there's such an importance for the tech team to be included in all of the practices. One, I've heard you say it, I've heard Mr. Ermey say it, but the sound person who's running that machine is playing an instrument just as much as I am when I play the guitar.
Absolutely.
Some songs we play are fast and upbeat and loud. Some songs we play are emotional and sensitive. And so to be able to fluctuate different key people leading, key instruments leading, to make that sound as optimal as they can is so important. And to have also that heart of worship and that sensitivity within that movement and flow of the songs and the service is so important. So being able to be there and understand all the technical aspects of the song, but then be able to have your own reflection in the technical aspects. And the same thing with the slides. If our slide guy is there and he's running through that with us every service or every practice, he's going to start learning those songs so they can anticipate what the leader is going to do. You can stay ahead. There's less distractions in the worship that way. And it helps unify the whole team. So everybody's sharing the same vision. Everybody's sharing the same goal and the same heart for worship because they're included in this relationship. It's not an us and them. It's not a, the sound guys aren't doing what I want, or the worship team just goes off and leaves us behind.
And let's be honest. I mean, most of the churches tend to have an us and them. You know, mm-hmm. you have the band up there, you have the tech team back there, and the tech team thinks that, you know, they're more mighty than the band because mm-hmm. if it wasn't for them, then the band couldn't be heard. And
mm-hmm.
you got these kingdoms that are being formed, and it's creating this barrier, this wall,
right.
To actually develop the relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important, as from what you're sitting here saying, from the example that was given to you from, you know, some of our mentors,
mm-hmm.
is to intentionally include the tech team as the worship team.
Right.
So when we say worship team, we're not just talking about the band up on stage playing the instruments. We're also talking about those who are back there running the soundboard and the lights and the words and those kinds of things. It's all one team. And so when we had people over at the house, at our house, to develop those relationships, the tech team was invited.
Yes, every single time.
And you pulled everybody together saying, this is us. This is one team, one heart, one voice, one mind. And we're all going after the same thing.
Right.
So I think it's really important, and it's something that's missed by a lot of worship leaders. Because it's easy to get caught up in the band stuff.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. It became, I think, because of that mentoring at a younger age, it became so important to me as at an older age to make sure that I continued that, because it comes down to this heart of love for the others.
Yes.
You know, where it's more important for me to love our tech team and have them feel included than it is for me to have the sound exactly how I want it or the words exactly how I want it.
Yeah.
Because that was the example given to me. I would constantly hear our mentor saying it's more important for us as a tech team to support our worship team and give them the best that they can have so that they can do what God's calling them to do. And there was just whole sense of humility and laying oneself down for the other. And so that for me is just so important to include for our tech team as a worship, as the person who's up on the stage, that I need to do my part and lay myself down and serve them in the way that honors them and makes them feel included and loved and a part of this. I mean, that's our whole goal and mission as followers of Christ.
Yeah.
And so to have the opportunity in everyday interactions and in weekly interactions to live out that.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you're sitting here talking about, you know, the importance of relationships on the band, on the tech, with the tech team and all those different areas, what's the importance of having a good, close relationship with the pastor when it comes to being the worship leader?
That is huge. I know I'm like, everything's huge, but it really is. All these parts go together. But I think, again, the pastor is, for lack of a better way to put it, like the head of the church, not under Jesus, obviously,
but
the leader. He's the one at the top casting vision, creating the goals forward, you know, like saying what happens and what doesn't happen, what we're doing week after week, month and year after year. So to have a relationship with your pastor is one of the most important things. And more than just, I mean, for me, ideally, it's more than just the pastor saying, do this or don't do this. Or even on the other side of that, I don't care what you just do, whatever you want. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But to have a relationship where it can be like-mindedness, there's common vision, common goals, working towards that. And I think it's so important for pastors to cast that vision, to have a vision, first of all, and to cast that vision and inspire your worship leader to join in that vision. When worshipers, because, you know, most of the time musicians are creatives too, creative people. When you can inspire someone who's creative to join alongside what you're doing, it's amazing what you see in that. So to have a pastor worship leader relationship where there's, you know, common inspiration and vision casting, it's amazing what can happen. And there's just this beautiful dance that goes hand in hand together.
Share an experience that you've had where you've had a pastor that has developed a relationship with you as the worship leader and what that has looked like.
So when I was probably growing up again in Oklahoma City and even into my adult years and working in that relationship when I was being mentored there, there were times in that relationship when there were specific things we were doing or specific events we were working towards and creating. And there was a lot of trust and freedom through that relational developing to be able to just express what I felt the Spirit moving and sharing that. And there were times I would hear a song or listen to a song and it would move me. And I would email it to our pastor or I texted him like, hey, you need to hear this song. It's amazing. You're going to love it. And then the pastor would email me or text me back and be like, I love this song. Like, let's do it. You know, that kind of thing. And I didn't need to get permission for songs. Like, there again, there was this trust there that we had developed through having relational interactions, having just building relationships, being friends, enjoying doing ministry together, you know, like, and there was a lot of trust built in that. So I didn't have to get permission to introduce new songs. And, but there was an excitement in sharing that when I was inspired by a song. Same thing with the pastor. He would hear a song and there was something if he really wanted to be done, or he was like, I love this song. It means a lot to me. I'd really like it if we could do it in the service. And he would bring it to me and say, I want you to hear this song. Tell me what you think. And I could hear it. And I'd be like, I love it. Or if there was a specific song they really wanted done, he would bring that to me and tell me why he wanted it done. And absolutely, we would learn it and do it. But there was this, again, this ebb and flow of the relationship with that pastor, of being able to have the trust and the freedom to introduce songs and to lead our congregation in worship, like pointing towards that common vision and that common goal for the congregation.
And it took the pastor developing that relationship, not just through church time,
right?
But it was this integration of life on life.
Mm-hmm.
We would be spending time with him outside of Sunday mornings,
right?
I mean, we did things together as families. He would invite us over mm-hmm. for dinners and those kinds of things. When we would have our leadership meetings,
mm-hmm.
you know, we would have a lot of great discussions,
yes.
not talking about business,
right?
And so the focus was just developing relationships for friendship's
yes.
sake,
mm-hmm.
not for means to an end,
right.
you know, not
right.
trying to get somebody to do something, but a real authentic caring
mm-hmm.
of us as people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and it took that
mm-hmm.
from the pastor to where you were reciprocating it back, we would reciprocate that back and that friendship would occur. And then that developed trust
right.
for the ministry aspect
right.
of it.
Right. And again, I think I never in the ministry there, I never felt like it was, you know, he was my boss, you know, and I had to do what he was asking me to do. But it was one of those through his conviction to develop the relationship and my response to my conviction in that relationships as well, it just became this beautiful like partnership again in the vision, in the vision casting for the congregation and moving that forward. And there was a clear, I think that was one of the biggest helping things for me that if I could encourage a pastor to do for their worship leader is to continually have a vision, a clear vision, and cast a clear vision for your worship leader, because it makes such a difference as someone who is helping lead the congregation towards the goal, you know what I mean, or towards the vision, to be on board with that. And when you don't have a clear vision, okay, like what's the goal for our congregation? Like what do we want to get to? Like who is our, you know, whatever it is, whatever that thing is, it helps be able to, again, join alongside and participate in a much different way when you understand that vision and get behind that vision. Like I knew when we were doing it in Oklahoma City that it was to young people were very supported there, like bringing in new people was supported there, and like everybody working together. There was just this kind of goal that we wanted to be a loving, welcoming, open church, you know, who worshiped. And so to be able to have that where it was like, and then, you know, it even morphed into like being a community church and like somebody who reaches outside of the doors and meets our community where they are. Like, but to have that clear vision, I, you know, you as a worship leader and as a worship team are just as important as all the other leaders in casting that vision, because you have a spotlight more so than some of these other areas, but that you can help point people to Jesus and his love, and through that help further that vision. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely it does. And what you're saying here is as a worship leader, you're trying to create a space and a journey for those who come to a worship service
mm-hmm.
To encounter God
yes.
through song.
Yes.
and where their hearts are kind of molded and shaped and ready to receive God's love.
Yes.
You know, through song and mm-hmm. then through the sermon and through all the different aspects of a worship service. So, mm-hmm. and what I hear you saying is it's not just one aspect mm-hmm. that does it.
Right.
But yet it's having strong relationships with the band, mm-hmm. with the tech team, and with the pastor. And that's what develops strong relationships with the congregation.
Yes.
To where they're receptive mm-hmm. and they reciprocate, because whether they believe it or not, they see this relationship occurring, mm-hmm. even though they don't see all the behind the scenes stuff.
Right.
They're experiencing the fruit mm-hmm. of all the behind scenes work as far as the development of their relationships between all these different aspects.
Right.
So let me ask you this. The thing that stood out to me when you were sitting here talking is the intentionality mm-hmm. of developing relationships
yes.
before technical stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You really took it seriously on developing the relationships with each and every single team member
mm-hmm.
and with pastors mm-hmm. and with the tech team. The relationships were the number one goal.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, we can actually look at it as the band and the tech stuff is just a tool to what really matters.
Yeah.
Because what really matters, at the end of the day, we're going to buy new equipment.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
we're going deaf.
Mm-hmm. I know.
We're going deaf. We're going blind. We're going to get older and can't carry a tune.
Yes.
You know, so that all that stuff fades away. But
yeah.
what ends up lasting forever is the relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the most important part.
Yeah.
And we can get so caught up in the technical stuff
mm-hmm.
and doing the music perfectly,
mm-hmm.
having the sound perfectly, that we totally miss out on what's more important.
Right.
And that's the relationships.
Mm-hmm.
I really appreciate you sharing this experience.
Yeah.
We could keep going on and
yes.
on and on. Hey, I'm having to cut it short here, trying to keep it within that 30-minute window.
Minutes,
I still
yes.
think I went a little over. But, you know, we'll probably revisit this and dig a little bit deeper on some of these things.
Yeah.
I
do want to say, and just in closing or to kind of final
sure.
thought
yeah,
of
yeah,
it,
yeah.
all of the things that we practice are because as a should be a reciprocation of what Jesus already did for us.
Mm.
And that's the biggest thing, is that all of these things that I've learned and have been shown and doing, and the relational reciprocation, all stems from the fact that Jesus includes us and he loves us first. And so we respond out of that love and reciprocate that love. And it's the same in these relationships with each other. We love each other because each other loves. You know what I mean? So I want to point that out too, that it's not because we're awesome people and we're just really good at relationships. It's because of the example that Jesus has set for us and that reciprocation.
The amazing triune God
mm-hmm.
shared their relationship by creating us
mm-hmm.
and included us in that relationship.
Right.
And so just out of pure reciprocation of how we were created
mm-hmm.
in relationship, why aren't we developing relationships
mm-hmm.
ourselves through all the different aspects, especially in the church?
Yes.
Especially in the church.
Yes.
You're preaching now.
Well, that is what worship leaders do. Just kidding.
Really appreciate you sharing your experience with worship leading and all this insight and your experiences that you've kind of developed and over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Really appreciate you being here.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
I do have one last question,
oh,
though.
No, I don't want it.
I have one last question.
Would I don't know what a giraffe says.
No, that's a good one, but no, you're not getting that one. It's too easy. Okay. Would you rather?
Oh no.
Have a third eye, or a third arm?
Ooh. Oh, third arm.
Why?
I mean, what am I going to see more of if it's on my face, or I don't need to see behind my back? Like, yeah, that's okay. I don't need to. Where am I going to have an extra eyeball anyways? Where are going to put it, first of all? And then what's it going to do except see another angle? Whereas another arm, think of all the extra things you can do with another arm.
Hmm.
You know what I mean?
You could play another instrument.
Absolutely. You can drive and eat, because two hands would be on the wheel, and then you could still have a third one eating, you know? Or you could put... I don't know. You can help your kids get dressed and brush your hair at the same time.
You can get 50% more done.
You know what I'm saying? Think how more productive I would be if I had a third arm.
You'd wait until the last minute anyways.
This is true. But then my arms would be moving really fast. All of them.
Okay, we better turn this off. What a great episode that was. You know, I really love that lady.
So much fun.
She says fun all the time.
Yes.
All the time. Yeah. But it's so true with her.
It is. And what a good goal to just bring fun wherever you go.
Yeah.
I think fun is definitely a Megan Brandon value. And it comes out in worship too. It is joy. You know, let's make a joyful noise unto the Lord.
Yes, absolutely. And you can see her heart and her passion just by the way that she was talking about worship, and not just from an individualistic standpoint, but from a team perspective and congregational perspective. The thing that stood out to me, Michelle, was how she looked at everybody as part of the team and the relational connection with her and the team as far as the band on stage, but then also as a collective worship team, including the technical team and those who do the words, and then with the pastor, it's all integrated as one unit, one heart. And you can hear her desire and how she has seen that make the biggest difference in the worship of a congregation.
Yeah, and that Christ is really the cornerstone of that. You know, I think it's so important to think about our starting place and our foundation,
yes.
You know, and Jesus is our firm foundation, and he is the firm foundation of the teams that are being created, and that it's all worship. I think sometimes we think that, you know, singing is worship and then we listen to the word, but no, all of it is worship. All of it is our submission and joining in with what Jesus and the Spirit are already doing with the Father.
Yeah. It's really easy to get caught up in the technicalities of it, making sure you're hitting the right chords, that the sound is just right, that the words are coming up. And those are all important things. But if we focus too much on the technicalities and we don't realize there's a much bigger picture in it all, that it's about the relationships, then we miss some beautiful things that occur within people's lives.
Well, and I think that's a distinction too. If it's all in the technicalities, then we're just creating a band, right?
So true.
And we don't want bands, you know?
Right.
We want worship teams, people who are working together in the image of Christ.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It was really good. You could hear her passion behind it. So be sure to check out the show notes at the resources site. It is resources.gci.org/GCpodcast episode 3. That's a very long website, but if you're listening to this, then you probably know where to go.
Yep. Or you can click on it from the resources page.
Yeah, exactly. It's there too. So getting back to the regional celebrations in 2019, our theme for this year is Healthy Leaders for Healthy Churches. And some things that you can expect is inspirational worship, time to build relationships with your leaders, meet new friends, and connect with old friends. There's going to be children and youth tracks, so families, bring your kiddos. And to find out more information, go to gci.org/events and click on your region. You'll find the specific locations, the dates, the pricing, and then you can register there. Why wait? Just get it done.
I believe there's an early bird special, too.
An early bird special.
Catch that worm. Get that deal.
Come on. You might as well just go and just register. Get it done. Let's fill it up. Because I don't know, is there limited space, kind of?
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. But I know some of these rooms can only handle so many people. So I'm sure there's limited space.
Make sure you get it.
Yeah, just go and get registered and get it cheaper than waiting till the price goes up. So
yeah, save some money to get a meal with a friend while you're there.
Come on. You know, that's a great point, because we want you pastors to bring your ministry leaders. Ministry leaders, bring some of your ministry workers that you work with, and use this as an opportunity to build deeper relationships with your leaders and grow together as a team. You don't want to miss this event.
It's going to be a celebration.
Celebrate good times. Come on.
We want to thank you for listening to this episode of the GC Podcast. We hope you have found value in it to become a healthier leader. We would love to hear from you. If you have a suggestion on a topic, or if there's someone who you think we should interview, email us at info@gci.org. Remember, healthy churches start with healthy leaders. Invest in yourself and your leaders.